Thankful for that real good message and exhortation, and call your attention to Hebrews chapter 4 and hope to continue along the same lines of what we've heard about the Word of God and its impact in our life. It says in Hebrews 4:11, it says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." And that rest that we're called to enter into is one that we enter by faith when we rest completely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And yet we're called to labor, we're called to work at resting in Jesus Christ. The pride and the arrogance that's in our heart causes us to trust in self and to attempt to serve God in our own strength. And we need to be reminded daily and moment by moment to rest upon the finished work of Christ and to look to Him not just as our friend, not just as our counselor, but as our Savior. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, you can entertain a pretty pleasant thought about yourself and have a good self-esteem about your own accomplishments and your own motivations. But when you come to the Word of God, He says it's living, it's powerful, it's sharp. It pierces and it discerns even the thoughts and the intents or the motives of your heart. So as we come to the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God preached, there's a painful aspect of it as our sin is convicted, as our sin is brought into the light, and God uses His law and His word to show us our failures in His service and how we stand in need of the blood of Christ. He says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." The holiness of God set before us in the Word of God, the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." So instead of giving up in despair when your sin is brought to light, when we see how far we've missed the mark by God's holy and just and righteous standard, He says, we have something to secure us and to strengthen and to encourage us in our faith, and that is that we have a great high priest. What does a priest do? A priest offers sacrifice. The great high priest, Jesus Christ, has offered the perfect sacrifice for the sins of His people. Seeing that He has passed into the heavens, let us hold fast our profession. Because Jesus is in heaven, because He's seated at the right hand of God, because He's been exalted above all creatures, because He ever liveth to make intercession for us, let's not give up in despair when we miss the mark, but let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So it's indicating that He not only has offered the perfect sacrifice, but He's able to give us the perfect help. He's able to succor us. He's able to strengthen us. He's able to give us exactly what we need when we're tempted and when we're tried, because He knows what it is to be tempted. He's that high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The recourse, the call for us when we sin and when we miss the mark and when we're convicted by the Word of God for our failures is to come boldly. We're not just called to come timidly and to come with a fear of being accepted, but to come boldly, because we are accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ. You're coming to God and you're asking God to have mercy on your sin for who Jesus is and for what He's done. And we come to God asking Him to bless us abundantly, to bless us with His rich storehouses, which with his great grace, which cannot be measured, to bless us abundantly. God, the Bible says, is love. And then when you read in Ephesians 3, it talks about the boundlessness of God's love and how you can't measure the width and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God. And God says that His attributes of infinity, you can't measure God, you can't put God in a box, you can't contain Him in space or time. God's love is the same way, and God's love by His mercy and grace is directed upon you today and is manifested in the gift and the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now His priestly ministry, His heavenly intercession on your behalf, now because of who He is and what He's done, and because of your identification with Him before God, you stand accepted in the Beloved. Now we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, and you can expect to find mercy, and you can expect to find grace, and He has all sufficient grace, and He has all sufficient power, and He has everything that you stand in need of today in fighting this good fight of faith, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God bless you.